Thank you, and happy Sabbath. When I woke up yesterday morning in Richmond, Virginia, I had no idea that a small computer update, Microsoft Windows, 8.5 million computers, more than 1 million passengers, 7,000 canceled flights, just with a little small update. So somebody created some code, pushed a button, and a little glitch created all that. But I'd like to start this message with a question. What do you call a pony with a sore throat? What do you call a pony with a sore throat? A little horse. Okay. But today we're going to talk about small things. If you could talk with that pony, how do you think it would feel if you had just called it a little horse? I'm not that little. Why am I being underestimated? I'm being overlooked. What about you and me? Are there times when we feel small and underestimated? Overlooked like a little pony, a little horse. If we've ever felt like a small thing, we're in good company. I bet that applies to all of us. If it doesn't apply to any of us, maybe a follow-up message could be about mighty humility. But I think a little thing is very real for us. So today I'll just focus on one scripture. Scripture about small things. Many of you might know where we're going, so go ahead and turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And what I'd like to do is to examine three words in this verse, and then ultimately how we can draw encouragement from this verse about small things, and ultimately how it's such a big thing to be a part of God's great plan. So Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, where it says, actually, let's start with verse 9 to lead into it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. Zerubbabel is listed in Matthew. He's in the lineage of David. He's the governor here. He's laid the foundation of the temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And here's verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing to despise small things? Let's think about that. For these seven, which are referring to the eyes of the Lord coming up, are rejoicing to see. So something's despising the day of small things, but the opposite of that, the eyes of the Lord are rejoicing to see. And what are they rejoicing to see? The plumb line in the hands, or the plummet, and depending on your translation, the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, they're the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro and throughout the whole earth. So let's look at three words, and then we'll wrap this up. Word number one, despise. For who has despised the day of small things? So despise could be translated, different commentaries, hate, detest, contempt. Those are some pretty heavy words. Hate, detest, contempt. And then Strong says that, well, this could be coming from three different areas. So despising sometimes could happen from evil. Is it okay to despise evil? Yes, I think we should all be on that team. So despising by itself isn't bad. It depends on what is being despised. The second category that was pointed out in Strong's is prosperity. And that would kind of surprise me for a second. I just thought, well, I guess it would be like jealousy of prosperity. Everybody could look and say, somebody's ultimately more prosperous than us. So there could be a despising feeling of prosperity. The last one that I think really applies here is judgment. So there's a judgment call. Is something good or bad? Is something I'd support or not? And then am I despising that through a judgment? So that's the first word. Despise could be a good or bad action depending on what's being despised. In this case, it's saying who's despised the day of small things, inferring that we really shouldn't be despising the day of small things. Word number two. Small things. You say, well, wait a second, that's two words. Well, there's only one Hebrew word for it, but it is two English words. But so the second word, let's examine small things. Are we not supposed to detest any small thing? I don't like mosquitoes. I think I could say I despise them, and I don't think that's what this is being talked about, and we know for sure it's not. But it's not necessarily just despising anything that's small. But let's think about what could be some different words that we would insert in place of small things. tiny, baby, twerp, young, small, insignificant, unimportant. We shouldn't be despising small things. And here's the context. I'll keep it really simple. In my Bible, it's 2 pages back. In yours, it might be close by. Let's get the context here in Haggai chapter 2. So a real brief history story is 585, temple's destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar takes about 500,000 people from Judah into Babylon. 50 years later, Cyrus now conquers and sends about a tithe of those left from Judah back. It's about 50,000 people. So just a fraction of that remnant that now are back into Jerusalem to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. Ezra, we won't turn there, but that was when the building started. And that was 20 years before this mention in the book of Haggai. So they started building the temple. They laid the foundations. Zerubbabel did that, as mentioned in Ezra. And then there was a 20-year break. We're not exactly sure why the 20-year break. It doesn't state specifically, but we think so because Solomon's temple had an incredible amount of gold and silver. The second temple, when it was started, they laid the foundation with blocks. They didn't have the same amount of gold and silver. That wasn't there. The greatness of that first temple, in Ezra it said the priests were crying because of those who had seen the temple before, and now it was going to be such a small thing in comparison. So in Haggai chapter 2, let's start in verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? So at this point, the foundation stones have been laid, and they've been laid for about 20 years without activity. How do you see it now? In comparison, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Now yet you be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. That's an underrated word these days, maybe a name for somebody. The high priest, be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word which I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So when you think about small beginnings, small things, a group from slavery in Egypt is what started Israel. That's a small beginning. That's a small start. And now here was another small start, the rebuilding of the temple at this time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. You could say the temple was filled initially with glory in the Holy of Holies, but this verse hasn't completely been completed as a part of the long-term vision and meaning of this goal, of this verse. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give peace. So in the concept of who has despised the day of small things, the small things here was referencing, it was rebuilding the temple. The foundation lines had just been laid. The beginning of that had been made, but the people were sad. They were disappointed. Not as much gold, silver. The building was not at that time projected or expected by this remnant of the people to be anything close to what that first temple was like. So a consideration is many great things start small. Small's okay. Start small and grow. Very good. Faithful in little and faithful in much can also be a concept there. So the third word I'd like to examine back in Zechariah 4, verse 10, is the plumb line or the plummet. And I had to stop for a second and think, well, when I first read it in the King James, it's plummet. And it's like, well, what does that exactly mean? Well, if you have a rock and you drop the rock, it plummets. That's all it is. A plumb line is that you tie a string around the rock, drop the rock, hold the string. And now what do you have? A straight line. It's amazing the building that was done at that time with the straight lines. We saw the Great Pyramids in Egypt. How are those pyramids so pristinely set, square, straight lines, square lines? I remember doing the occasional construction work with my dad, and there's a thing called a chalk line, which some of you might understand. There's a canister that's like a cup that has a lid on it, and then you have a string. And inside that is chalk. And if you pull the line out, now you have a thread that is covered with chalk. And if you pull it really tight, it's going to be a straight line. And then if you flip it, that creates a straight line on a piece of wood. And then that gives a carpenter the idea of how to follow a straight line instead of trying to follow their eyesight or follow the whim. So a plummet is needed to make sure that everything's square. That when a foundation's being laid, it's not like how I used to plant fields and the rows could be this a little bit. It's everything has to be straight with the plummet, a plumb line, or a chalk line in comparison. There's a commentary which was new to me called Kiel and Delitzsch. It said, not the day the foundation stone was first laid, which is in the sixth year of Darius. It was just as miserable of a time. So thinking of what a difficult start the small foundation was, that building work was suspended, then resumed from Darius to the coming of the Messiah. But everything for the kingdom of God seems small in comparison, although it has the germs of greatness. And I like the term the germs of greatness. So you think about something really small, well, there could be good germs and bad germs, but in this case, it would be a positive germ of greatness. Ultimately, what is this temple referring to? Well, we know in the New Testament, ourselves, we're the temple, a part of the temple, but ultimately the church is the temple. And as we're living stones being fit into as a part of the temple, that's the ultimate construction project. So God has the plummet. God is making sure everything's being placed in the building as he sees fit. And that's ultimately the small thing. Our beginning is here. We're a part of this foundation that's being laid. And then this building is being built with living stones together. And God is the ultimate incredible architect, placing each of us as living stones into his ultimate temple, the church. So let's remember. What do you call a pony with a sore throat? A little horse. Also that a little horse, and those of us most likely might feel like little ponies at times, can be encouraged by Zechariah 4 and verse 10. Not to be, and we shouldn't be despising the day of small things, and we should consider that what we're in the midst of right now is a continuation of that small thing, that day of small things, that ultimately leads and has a part of the germs of greatness.